I sigh, exhaustion evident in the heaviness of my voice. Late last night, I was sitting on my bed and a thought hit me. Maybe it's over. She blanches, reaching for my hand. No, really, Lindsay, I sputter, my voice cracking. Maybe it is. Maybe I just accept that we aren't who we once were and we need to let it go. Her eyes filled with tears, her bottom lip quivering. What are you doing crying? I laugh. You can't cry or I'll cry, and I've cried enough. I just hate this, she sniffles. I hate it, but I don't want to hate him. And it's getting so easy to. She looks around the room before settling her eyes on me. We always said we'd be pregnant together, she whispers. I take off around the island before stopping dead in my tracks. A cold rush races across my skin. Wait, I gulp. Are you? I look up at my best friend and she nods slowly, her eyes filled with trepidation. Lindsay! I exclaim, racing to her side. Oh my God! Tears spill down her rosy cheeks. I grab her and pull her to me. I can't say anything, the lump in my throat too massive to get around. I'm thrilled for her. My best friend carrying my niece or nephew that I already know I will love more than any human being on this planet. But at the same time, I'm heartbroken because she's right. We were going to do this together. Not only are we not doing it together, I'm starting from scratch, without Tyler. I'm sorry, Elin, she sniffles. Don't you ever say that again, I laugh, pulling back and wiping the tears from her eyes and mine too. I'm happy for you. I know, but I didn't even want to tell you. It just feels so unfair. I paste a smile on my face for both of our benefits. It's life, and you're bringing a new one, my niece or nephew, into the world. That isn't unfair in any way. That's exciting and exactly how it should be. The front door closes, causing us to jump, and his voice rolls through the house.
Jiggs, you in here? Lens?
I grab the counter behind me for stability. My cheeks are stained with tears, but I'm too frozen, too off guard to dry them before he sees. Ty walks around the corner, and his sight lands immediately on me. He stops in his tracks, the playful smirk on his face vanishing. He stutters, looking at Lindsay.
Lens?
Hey, Ty, she says carefully. Jiggs is out back. He doesn't move a muscle, only his eyes, and those just enough to find me again. The energy between us crackles, the air thickening by the second. He pulls his hat off his head, smoothing down hair that's still damp from a shower. The movement is enough to rustle me out of my daze. I look away, swiping a tissue off the counter and dabbing at my eyes. My hands tremble as they swipe at my face.
Are you okay, E?
His words are so soft, so kind. I would think they weren't real if Lindsay didn't look at me waiting on my response. I nod my head. But of course I'm not all right. I haven't been in a long time, and why should he start crying now? Because he has an audience? Because Lindsay is standing there watching? I focus on her, using her as a crutch to keep me level. I'm gonna go, I whisper, only meaning for Lindsay to hear.
Don't,
Ty says quickly from the other side of the room.
I'll go, Jiggs said.
Laughter floats inside the room as Jiggs and Cord return. Jiggs stops in his tracks when he realizes what he's just walked into. He looks from me to Ty, then to the ceiling. I shoot him a dagger, knowing exactly what he's done.
Jiggs said what?
Cord asks. He grabs a brownie and has it inches from his face when he looks up. Assessing the situation, knowing Ty and I wouldn't be in the same place at the same time on purpose, he puts the dessert back on the counter.
I can only imagine what Jiggs said to make this happen. Look.
My brother starts, shoving his hands in his pockets.
You're both here now. Let's go outside and have a hot dog and a beer. I didn't know she was going to be here,
Ty says directly at Jiggs. I look at Ty, baffled by the way he used a pronoun to refer to me. What did I ever do to you? I scream inside my head. Instead of saying that or throwing the mug of coffee sitting in front of me at his face, I turn to my brother. I asked you if he was going to be here. You said no, otherwise I wouldn't be. Their heads whip to me, reacting to the fury in my voice. My cheeks are hot, half from pure anger at my brother and half from embarrassment. Even though they're my friends, My family, except for Cord, and practically him too. It's still mortifying. They know he left me, and they must wonder too, what is so wrong with me that my husband, the man I loved my entire life, walked out and hasn't bothered to come home. Did you lie to me, Jakes? I ask, feeling Lindsay's hand rest on my forearm.
Look, sis, I didn't lie to you. I didn't think he was coming. I can leave.
Ty says, boring a hole into Jiggs's skull with his stare.
I probably should go, actually.
His shoulders slump, his navy blue Henley showing off the width of his shoulders and his trim waistline. He turns towards the foyer when Cord speaks up.
Hey, man, why don't you stay?
Cord takes a step towards me, his sparkling green eyes soft.
That's an awful big yard out there, don't you think, Elin? I'm pretty sure we can all enjoy the night and give each other some space. I mean, fuck. Remember the night Jiggs got drunk as fuck and puked all over himself? We all avoided him like the plague because he stunk so bad.
The memory eases the tension in the air just enough for us to chuckle under our breath. I can't look at my husband, though I know he's looking at me.
You'd be all right with that, right, Elin?
Cord asks gently, coaxing words from my lips.
We're just five friends. Two of y'all are just fighting right now, which, by the way, has got to stop. Ty's sleeping at my place, and he's messy as fuck.
My gaze focused on Cord. I start to grin. I know he is. Good luck with that. There's no denying the relief in my posture at knowing Ty is at Cord's.
I can leave, E, if it makes it easier for you.
Ty says, causing me to shiver at the intimacy in his tone. They all look at me again. The weight of their gaze is too much to bear. I grab the plate of brownies off the counter and head to the back door. I'm taking these outside. Ty can do whatever he wants. He's been great at avoiding me for weeks now. I'm sure he can manage another couple of hours. The door slams behind me.
Chapter 6. Ty. The fire crackles, sending sparks shooting into the sky. Scents of burnt marshmallows and hot dogs linger in the chilly night air, as most of the people I grew up with relax on hay bales and lawn chairs. The party's a lot tamer than most of the bonfires out here. So many of the guys I grew up with, even some of our dads, worked at the mine and are now unemployed. It's not just a truck payment we have to cover now. We have families and mortgages and bills. The lucky ones do, I guess. Maybe that's why no one's doing anything that would need the fire department this time. Everyone has too much on their minds, real shit, for mischief. It's just as well. I don't even want to be here. I wasn't even going to stay, just stop by and say hi, until I saw her. Now I can't leave. Twirling the bottle of beer between my fingers, I watch Elin across the fire. She's talking to Lindsay, her hand on her friend's stomach, and I realize they've told her about the baby. I take a swig of beer, more to squash the burning in my throat than because of thirst. A baby. That's what we've always wanted. I felt guilty our senior year of high school when she thought she was pregnant and I was happy about it. There are worse things than a baby. I hated being an only child. I wanted the chaos the neighbors had with five boys. Elin's mom used to say she and I had the same spirit. That's why we were so drawn together. I didn't correct her and say it was her daughter's ass that initially drew me in, but it was her sweet, selfless spirit that kept me. Her having my kids, my name, it felt like such a victory, such a coup. What more could a man want than to find a woman of Elin's caliber to have your family with? Our life was built on that. The house we picked out has a large oak tree that Elin thought was the perfect view for a nursery. Her job teaching would keep her home on holidays and summers, and my job at the mine would afford us plenty of money to raise a slew of children. It might even let her stay home if she chose. To think that none of that might happen. Hey, man, Cord says, bumping my shoulder. He plops his tall frame into the chair beside me. How are you? I shrug. Yeah, I feel ya, he voices, following my line of sight. She's pretty hot. My head jerks to the side, my fist ready to pound his face. I don't give a fuck that he's one of my oldest friends. He just crossed a line. Oh, did you think I meant Elin? He laughs. I was actually talking about Becca, but Elin isn't bad either. He tosses me a wink. I just about ended you, McCurry, I chuckle, sitting back in my chair. You were this close to dying tonight. Cord laughs and stretches his legs. Yeah, well, what are you going to do when you see her with someone else? Have you thought about that? Yeah, I've thought about it, and it makes me want to end up in prison for a very, very long time. But instead of answering, I just watch my wife from the safety of the darkness. The light of the fire highlights her delicate cheekbones and the fullness of her soft lips. Her hair brushes against her shoulders as it hangs straight, not curled or fixed up like she usually does. She's thinner than I remember, and I miss her curves and hate knowing that they're missing because of me. Have you talked to her at all? Cord asks. I start to respond, but press my lips together instead. Whatever I say is going to make me sound like a pussy. Do you remember when my birth mother came looking for me a few years ago? He presses. Fuck, that was hard, Ty. I grew up hating even the idea of her. I was never the kid that wanted to know her. I was the boy in foster home after foster home, wondering why my own mother didn't love me enough to keep me. Wondering why I had to live with the alcoholic in a rage downstairs or the foster mom that had me only for the check, not to actually feed me or take care of me. I mean, if my birth mom couldn't love me, didn't want me, no one would. He looks into the night away from everyone, and I watch as a flurry of memories skirt across his face. You know, one night I remember lying in a bed with no blanket or pillow, and it was cold as hell. He says to himself more than to me. It must have been December or so, because I remember seeing Christmas lights out the window. My stomach ached, he cringes. And I mean ached. I hadn't eaten more than a half a sandwich in a couple of days and a handful of iced animal cookies I snuck out of the cabinet in the middle of the night. His voice breaks and he pulls away from me, turned so I can't see his face anymore. I remember lying there and praying that my mother and father, wherever they were hungry and cold and miserable too. I prayed they died. I watch his shoulders tense, his jaw clench, and I feel absolutely terrible for him. Man, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. He faces me. I hated my parents more than I ever thought one person could hate another. Their choices ruined my life, and then my mom showed up out of nowhere. I remember that. She came into Thoroughbreds, right? Yeah. And she asked me who I was, and I told her, and she started crying, he says, the corner of his lips twitching. I called her every name under the sun. I mean, I really ripped into her. But after I settled down some and the shock wore off, we went out to the lake and sat by the water and talked. It was okay. He quiets, stares across the night. She made me all these promises, you know. She swore she wanted to be a part of my life. Not that I believed her, but she said them anyway. Then she disappeared again. I'm sorry, I repeat. I wonder how often he thinks about that and how it feels to be all alone. Because he is. Without Jiggs and I and Elon and Lindsay, Cord is all by himself. He turns to me, his eyes boring into mine. His gaze tells me this isn't just a life story. He has a point. And if I thought hard enough about it, I'm fairly certain I could figure it out. But who wants to do that? You get what I'm saying, Ty? I take a drink and look for Elon. You need to attempt to fix this, he insists. Your choices might have fucked shit up. Her choices too. But you need to make good ones now to repair the damage. Ignoring him, I take another swig. Look, she may not forgive you for leaving her. She might not want any part of you. Swinging around, I shoot him a glare. He shrugs. She might not, he repeats. But I'm fairly certain her reaction right now is just an emotional overload. She's trying to figure this all out, Ty. And you're the one that caused the pain, so she's lashing out at you. Thanks, I grimace. Well, you're the one that left. Shut up, McCurry. Truth hurts, huh? But I'm telling it to you anyway. He leans forward. Don't you respect everything you've been through enough to at least go and talk to her? And say what, Cord? That I'm a piece of shit that left when I should have fought? That took the easy road? You didn't take the easy road, he says. You did what you thought was best. You left so matters didn't get worse. I left because I was at the end of my goddamn rope. I stand, shoving off the chair so hard it almost falls over. I left because I didn't know what to do to fix any of it. I left because I was a fucking pussy. Ty, wait, I need to piss. Heading for the house. I keep my eyes open for Elin, but don't find her. I need to at least get a visual on her. Make sure she's okay. The tears on her face when I walked in tonight stabbed me in the chest, and I think I've bled a little all night. It's not that I think she hasn't cried. It's just that I can't see it. I don't think I can shake the image. 2 to 4 in the morning, the hours my mind goes through every mistake I've ever made, will be fun tonight. Cord is right. Of course he is. There's a part of me that's desperate to talk to her, craving some form of interaction with Elin. But I know I have to tread lightly, because something's different about her. Something's happened. I just don't know what or why it changed even more between us. The kitchen is deserted when I walk in. I make my way down the narrow hallway to the little bathroom off the guest bedroom I've stayed in a number of times before. My hand is reaching for the knob when it pulls open.
Oh!
Elin yelps, her eyes going wide. She takes a big step back inside the bathroom. Under the bright lights of the vanity, I can see the pink in her cheeks from the fire. I can smell her perfume, mixed with the smoke from outside. It's a vanilla scent I haven't smelled since I went to the house the day after I left to get some of my clothes while she was at work. My breath stills, my throat going dry. I'm unsteady on my feet and my hand reaches for the door jamb for support. She watches me like she's being cornered. Her chest rises and falls, like she just got finished walking the 5 miles around town that she does every evening. I should walk away. I should turn and walk down the fucking hallway into my truck and leave. I should. Before I do more damage. How are you, Elin? I ask instead because it's her in front of me. And it's the most natural thing in the world. It's how my world should be, she and I, close enough to touch. Yet, she shouldn't have that look in her eye, and I shouldn't feel like a miserable puke.
Ty?
She breathes, her voice trembling as hard as her hands. Instinctively, I start towards her, but her stumble back halts me. Shoving my hands in my pockets, I should get out of her way and let her pass. But after not having been this close to her in so long, I can't do that. I need every second she'll give me. I wouldn't have searched for her like this. But now that we're here, I can't break the moment. I won't. Are you okay? I ask, searching her face for the truth, because I'm not sure she'll give it to me. I'm not even completely sure I want to hear it.
Sure.
She fidgets, and that's enough to cause the air to escape my lungs. An invisible knife to slice the wall between us. Elin, I start to plead. Tears flood her eyes, but her lips form a thin, hard line.
You just... what, Ty?
She spits. The words come out, a sob mixed with a ferocity that knocks me back a few steps.
You just want to stand there and act like we're friends from high school, just running into each other randomly at a party?
No. I snort, watching her body stiffen. I want to see how you are. Her posture softens just a bit, and I decide to push a little. I was thinking maybe I could swing by the house. We could talk. A million expressions grace her features before her gaze steals.
You know what?
She says, her hands hitting me in the shoulders.
Fuck you.
My back hits the door frame as she presses through. Her touch, even as hateful as it is, still causes a zing through my body, one that I instantly crave to feel again. I want to reach out and grab her, kiss her, make her talk to me. By the time I get my wits together, the door is slamming in the kitchen.
Chapter 7. Elin. The beer is bitter and ice cold and tastes kind of like what I think urine would taste like. I've never been a beer drinker, but I've also never been a pool player. I've also never felt as nervous about being at Thoroughbreds as I do tonight.
Want to play again?
Jiggs asks, racking the balls.
I'll take it easier on you this time.
No, you won't, I laugh, setting the bottle on the table next to Lindsay. I look at my brother. But yeah, rack 'em. Let's play. Lindsay picks the pepperoni off a slice of pizza. I'm all for you getting out of the house, Elin, but you drinking beer and playing pool has me worried. I don't even know you right now. Yeah, well, me either. I pick up the beer and down it and motion for Becca to bring me another. I figure this is better than sitting at home and drinking alone. That's what they say, right? Don't drink alone. So the point tonight is to drink? No, the point of tonight is to get out of the house, but I can't do that without some liquid courage. Lindsay sighs and exchanges a glance with her husband. I don't think this is a good idea. Jiggs laughs, his eyes heavy with trouble.
I think it's a brilliant idea. Elin wants to have some fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
But Ty, Lindsay starts and then looks at me. Are you sure you don't want to go home and watch chick flicks? Jiggs can get us junk food and we can just veg out. No, I insist, my hand flying to my hip. Like I told you when I called you earlier tonight, I need to stop sitting at home and wallowing. I need to have fun. God knows Ty has been out gallivanting over the fucking country.
That's not true,
Jake says, but shuts up when I shoot him a look. Whose side you on, brother?
Yours,
he sighs, shaking his head. I spin around to take the new drink from Becca and sway a bit. Grinning, I realize my head is feeling foggy. I like it. It's quiet. Kind of numb. Why didn't I do this before? Thanks, Becca, I say brightly. Yet even I know my enthusiasm is put on. Still, it sounds better. It sounds like what I want to sound like, so I roll with it. How you liking your new job? It's okay, she quips. I've waited tables all my life, so I know what I was getting into. The drunk jerks in the front are making my life a little hellish tonight, but nothing I can't handle.
Who is it?
Jiggs asks. She shrugs. It's really not a big deal. His name is Shane or something, I think. But don't worry about it. I need to check on some tables in the back. Find me if you need anything. Disappearing in the back, I envy the ease with which she drops into new situations. It's what I'm trying to do. This is the first night of the new me, or the first night on the journey to being the new me, I suppose. This is me getting out there, having fun, doing things on a Saturday night. This is me trying to do it without having an anxiety attack. I take another swallow.
You all right, Elin?
Jiggs asks, handing me a pool stick. Yep. How many are you going to let her drink, Jiggs? Lindsay asks from behind us. She's on number 4. Oh, hush, Linz, I say, realizing there's more of a slur to my words than I imagined there would be. Is beer. I'm well over age, and while you're going to be a mother, you're not mine. Remember that. Jiggs laughs and cracks the cue ball against the others, the sound ricocheting through the little pub. It's the local hangout, the place everyone lands on the weekends. Everyone from teenagers wanting to play arcade games in the back to 50-something couples, wanting a sandwich or a slice of pizza, to the 70-year-old men rehashing every sporting event of Jackson in the last century. They're here. He takes another shot before looking at his wife.
She's a big girl, and I'm driving her home. Let her get wasted.
She'll be sick tomorrow, Lindsay objects. First of all, I say, feeling myself sway a little as I try to line up a shot. I'm right here. I drag the stick through my fingers and miss the cue ball altogether. And you have no idea how good this feels. I've been drunk before, Lindsay says. It's not going to feel so good in the morning. I stand quickly, teetering a little. Well, here's the thing. I wasn't going to be feeling so good tomorrow anyway. Lindsay's face twists in pity, and I hate it.
Hey.
Jig says, handing me a stick. His head turns towards a commotion in the front.
Becca mentioned Shane Pettis is up there. I'm going to go check on her. Be right back.
He gives Lindsay a quick kiss on the cheek, his hand resting protectively on her stomach, and walks towards the noise. You, I say, focusing my eyes on Lindsay as warmth starts to build over my skin. Are having a baby. She giggles, her eyes lighting up. I am. I can't wait to see if it's a boy or a girl. When are you telling everyone? I want to get out of the first trimester first. We've just told you and Ty, she gulps. And Cord found out, she continues in a rush. But that's it. We haven't told even my parents yet.
Your mom will be so happy, I grin. She won't be able to stand not having you close to her once she have a baby. I bet she moves back up here from Florida.
My mind starts to flirt with the idea of what my parents would have thought, but I push it out. Not tonight. I'm not doing the what-ifs and the what-could-have-beens.
I've been thinking about that,
Lindsay says, her finger drawing a line around the rim of her glass.
If Jiggs can't get a job here, you know, maybe we'd be better off down there with my mom.
What? I yelp, my hand slamming on the table in front of me way too loud. We both flinch.
You can't leave me here. Jiggs is the only family I have. Well, and you, and the baby.
Shh, she says, her finger going to her lip.
You aren't serious, are you?
A hand touches my shoulder and I jump, nearly falling over. I'm steadied on my feet by Shane Pettis.
Who's not serious?
He asks, pulling away from his touch. My lip curls in disgust.
What do you want, Shane?
He grins in a smarmy way.
How are you, Mrs. Witt? Or have you taken back the name Watson yet?
Go to hell, Shane!
Lindsay fires at him. He tosses his head back and laughs, his floppy blonde hair falling over his forehead.
Easy there, Spitfire,
he says to Lindsay.
I was just asking a question. Everyone knows they're on the outs.
Well, that's none of your business, I slur.
He studies me closely, but his gaze is too much, too strange, and I close my eyes. Ty's face tries to squeeze into my mind, but the alcohol helps block it out.
You're right. It's not.
He places a hand on his chest and looks at me sadly.
I wish I knew nothing about your split. It's just hard to look at you and know what a good girl you are and know, too, that your husband is a drug addict.
The words. The accusation is the only thing I hear clear as a bell. My fist clenches around the pool stick until my knuckles turn white.
He's not a drug addict, you dick!
His hands fly into the air in a defensive move.
Hey, I only know what I heard.
You heard wrong,
I spit, staring him down as best as I can with my head wobbling back and forth.
Why are you defending him? You can do so much better, Elon, than a guy that's all gimpy and buying pills off my cousin. I heard he was staying across the river with some needle junkie.
Shut the hell up, Shane, I say.
The room starts to spin a heavy, slow turn, and I reach for the table to steady myself. But I can't find it. I can barely make out Lindsay's muffled voice to my right. Shane takes my hand. I'd normally fight against it, but I need the stability. He leads me the few steps to the pool table and I go along, knowing Lindsay and Jiggs are here. His hands find the curve of my hip, and I push it away in an awkward attempt at keeping him back.
Leave her alone, Shane!
Lindsay objects from somewhere behind me.
Jiggs will be out here in a minute and will kill you.
I trip and fall against the table, my hands finding the side and catching me.
Careful,
he whispers against my ear.
I got this, I say.
And I'm pretty sure I do. That is, until I look up to the doorway of the patio and see Ty standing there, watching me.
Ty. Well, shit. Cord mutters beside me. My blood boils as soon as I see Shane's face. I can't stand him. Never could. But seeing him with his hand on her hip? Hell, seeing him within breathing distance of Elin is enough to make my head explode. My eyes lock with my wife's, and I know something's wrong. She barely reacts to seeing me. Just looks at me like she thinks I'm going to disappear if she looks at me long enough. She's drunk, I say, shaking my head. The movement makes her look away. What the hell's she doing? Cord asks, his hand on my shoulder. I'm sure it's so he can yank me back if I leap to rearrange Pettis' face. I have no fucking clue. Shane Pettis is the asshole that exhibits your typical fuckboy behavior. He's the guy that'll tell your girl you just got your cock sucked by some random chick, so your girl might sleep with him in her moment of agony, even though your dick has been under lockdown the entire time. It's rumored that he slips shit into girls' drinks when they aren't looking, and once had a minor accuse him of trying to fuck her. He, naturally, denied it and there was no proof, so he got off the hook. He's a pussy. 100% pathetic excuse for a human being. Pettis doesn't see me, and I want to keep it that way. Lindsay is sitting behind them, a look of mortification on her face because she knows, as much as I do, that if Elin were clear-minded, she'd never give Pettis the time of day. He came onto her once at the coal festival, and she gave him such a dressing down right smack dab in the middle of the cakewalk that he fled the scene. No, if Elin was sober, this wouldn't be happening. Not even close. I nod at Lindsay, letting her know I'm apprised of the situation, and then spot a table in the corner behind a potted tree. So we're just gonna sit here and drink a beer and watch this bullshit? Cord asks. You fucking serious right now, Wit? Yep. Looking around the room, I see Jiggs walking their way. He spies his sister with Pettis and cracks his hands in front of him. Seriously, Ty? Cord asks. You're gonna just let this go down? Pettis stands a few feet from Elin as she tries to take a shot. She misses terribly, her giggle floating through the pub into my ears. Yeah, I am. Why? Because. That's a fourth grade answer. He's right, but I don't explain. I just want to see what happens. She deserves some space to have a good time, and right now, besides being with Shane fucking Pettis, there's nothing I can say. Elin downs what appears to be an entire bottle of beer. Jig says something to her, and she tries to poke him in the chest, but misses. He grabs her arm and steadies her. My throat is burning, my hands itching to take the bottle away and shake some sense into her. This isn't Elin. She's not a beer drinker or a girl to make a fool out of herself. She's never been this way. Pettis slides up to her again, his arm going around her waist as he takes her stick away. He leans them both up against the table and whispers in her ear. She leans her head on his shoulder, her lashes fluttering closed. You were right, Cord. I scoff. My chair screeches as it goes sailing behind me. What about? I can't handle seeing her with another guy. I start across the room. Out of my peripheral vision, I see Jig stand. They're facing away, almost at the door, when I finally reach them. Pettis' hand is resting on the small of Elin's back. Reaching out and wrapping my hand around his forearm, I squeeze as hard as I can and jerk it away from her, my fingers searing into his flesh. What the fuck? He yelps, swinging around to see me. Instead of being smart and correctly reading the situation, he smirks. Huh, he's always been a dumb motherfucker. Hey, Ty, what's happening, man? Do yourself a favor and head on out of here. My tone lacks any warmth whatsoever, yet it carries the red-hot fury coursing through my veins. Elin flinches.
What are you doing, Ty?
Saving you a bunch of embarrassment.
I know what I'm doing.
She fires back, teetering a little.
He's taking me home.
When you can say that without slurring the word, sweetheart, I'll believe you. Shane laughs and starts to reach for her again. I cut the distance between us in half. Looking down and as far into his eyes as possible, I try to drive home the severity of this situation. Touch her again, motherfucker. I dare you. I growl. I have no problem with going to jail tonight.
Ty!
Elin nearly yells, trying to shove me back. Instead, she falls head first into my chest. The feel of her body against mine, even if it's on accident, is enough to make me lose my breath for a quick second. Pettis reaches for her, but stops when he sees my face. Get the hell out of here, Pettis! I snap, lacing my fingers through Elin's. She tries to pull away, but my grip is too strong.
Why are you doing this?
She asks, her eyes filling with tears as she stops to remove her hand from mine. Her shoulders slump, her lips tremble.
What do I look like to you? Some piece of property you own?
No, I say, pulling her to my side. You look like my wife.
I'm not your wife.
She whispers, her eyes struggling to stay open.
Not anymore.
Pettis laughs and turns away. Have fun with that. He's out the door, Cord on his heels, before I can say another word. How many beers did she have? I ask Lindsay.
Four.
And how did you think you were going to handle that? I ask Elin, shaking my head at her stupidity. The realization of what would be happening to her this very second if I hadn't walked in, it makes me want to come undone at the seams. Do you have any idea what he would have done to you? What in the world has gotten into you?
Why do you care who or what is getting in me?
She asks, yawning. I grit my teeth, trying to contain my temper. Careful, E.
Just leave me alone.
I'm not leaving you like this.
Why, that's what you're best at.
We can discuss this when we get home if you'd like, I growl. Her eyes pop open.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Try again. I pick her up and toss her over my shoulder, kicking the door open with my boot. Hey, Becca! I call over Elin's objections. She looks up from the table she's serving and takes in the situation and laughs. Put whatever she had on my tab, okay? She flashes me a thumbs up and I pause to look at Jiggs. The lines on his face are severe as he braces in anticipation of me going berserk. We will discuss this later, Watson. I promise him through gritted teeth. Elin pounds on my back as I carry her out the door. Chapter 8. Tie. The truck rumbles as I steer it off the highway and onto the gravel road. The cab is completely still, the only light coming from the glow of the dash as we get further into the country. There are no other cars in the road. That's a good thing because I can't keep my eyes off the passenger seat. Elin sits with her head resting on the window, her eyes closed. Her breathing is even, peaceful, and I try to match mine to hers. If I closed my eyes, I could convince myself we're home in bed. But we aren't. My brain knows that, and it's a complete internal fight not to pull the truck off the shoulder of the road and pull her into my arms. The part of me that's been agitated for months is now soothed. Just being in the car with her is a balm to the wound that's been seeping since before I walked out on her. She centers me, stills me, and I wonder how in the hell I let things get so out of control. Elin mumbles something I can't understand. Her face twists sourly as whatever she's dreaming plays out in her mind, and I wonder if she's realizing she's with me. As much as I hate that I'm with her because of this, I can't think of another place I'd rather be. I push away the uncertainty of how to handle this situation once I get her home, and instead I revel in the feeling of being next to her, even if she was seconds away from being with Pettis tonight. I can't imagine another man touching her, feeling her, knowing her in a way that only I do. My skin crawls, my blood reaching a boiling point. My palm smacks off the steering wheel, making Elin jump.
Ty?
She asks, trying to sit up. Her hand goes to her forehead, wincing. She looks at me with utter confusion, leaning away against the door. Just taking you home, I say, trying not to alarm her. Look. The house is dark as we pull in. The security light along the walkway to the back door is out, and I wonder how long that has needed fixed and how many nights she's come home late and had to venture through the darkness. She's drifted back to sleep by the time I stop the truck. I climb out and make my way around it. The air is crisp, the glow of the fireflies blinking in the darkness making me think back to nights on the porch with her. Pulling the door open, I catch her as she starts to slide out. A grin tugs at my lips as I feel her body soft against mine. She doesn't stir at the contact, so I gather her in my arms and lift her out. My heart nearly stops beating and goes wild at the same time. I bury my face in her hair and breathe her in, fighting back the constriction in my chest. I glance at the house and know I have to take her in when I really just want to put her back in my truck and drive somewhere, anywhere. As long as we're together. I need her. Damn it, I need her. She moans, wrapping her arms around my neck. Her head nestles into my shoulder like it's done 1,000 times. I pick up my feet and walk towards the house. My head is already trying to convince my heart that I have to put her to bed and leave. Again. I don't know if I can do it. I have to do it. Sticking my key in the back door, I'm pleasantly surprised that it still works. The door squeaks as I push it open with my hip. At least some things are the same. A motion light on the stove flickers on and illuminates the room. The kitchen looks like it did when I left, but there's no note on the table like she used to leave for me when I got in late from work. No promises of what she would do to me when I climbed in bed. No directions on where to find that dinner she made. No lipstick kisses on a blank sheet of paper.
Ty?
Elin whispers, her breath hot against my neck. Yeah, baby?
I think I'm gonna be sick.
I squeeze her closer to me. I'd rather be covered in her vomit than have to put her down. You're gonna be okay. I'm here.
Ty?
She whispers again, this time more sleepily. Yeah?
I'm glad you're here.
Unable to respond, I just keep walking towards the room she and I used to share. The floor moans with our weight as I go through the living room and down the hall. The door to the bedroom is open, and our bed is lit up by the moonlight streaming in the window. I walk to the side of the bed, but I can't lay her down. I just can't make myself do it. The picture from our honeymoon in Tennessee is still framed on the nightstand. My reflective vest from the mine is still hanging on the hook on the back of the closet door, and I want to make her wake up and ask her why. I want to jostle her until she tells me she misses me and doesn't hate me and still, somehow, loves me.
Can you lay me down?
She asks roughly.
Please?
I look at her beautiful face, her eyes still closed, and I consider saying no. Instead, I yank back the comforter from the little yellow daisies we bought on a Saturday morning in Terre Haute and place her softly on the side of the bed. She never opens her eyes. Feeling a myriad of emotions, ones that threaten to spill out in an ugly mess, I remove her shoes and pull the blankets up around her. I tuck them beneath her body, sealing her in, both to hopefully comfort her and to put a physical reminder to me that I can't climb in with her. I'm this close to doing just that, but I won't take advantage of this situation. We need to work through things, not add reasons to fight.
Will you lie with me?
I furrow my brows, absolutely sure I misheard her until she asks again.
Will you lie with me, please?
I shake my head, trying to walk a fine line between what I should do and what I want to do. You don't mean that. Just go to sleep. I'll be right here. My soul rips to say those words, but the only thing that could make this situation any worse is for her to feel like I took advantage of her. And I won't mess it up, not more than I already have. Even if that means denying myself the very air I've been craving for so long, I will.
You've promised me that before.
Her voice is clearer than it has been, enough for me to know she's keeping her eyes closed on purpose. She just doesn't want to look at me. And that makes me want to die. Elin.
You left.
Elin.
You didn't come back.
Her words are strangled, both a fact and a myth, because whether she knows it or not, my mind was always here. I never left. Not really.
You wouldn't answer my calls.
She mumbles.
Lie with me. Show me you don't hate me.
Tears cloud my vision, and I struggle to blink them back. What she's asking is exactly what I want to do, what I need, but not like this. Not with her so drunk. She takes my hand, the offer of her small fingers and mine crushing me. She tries to pull me towards her, but she's too cursed by the alcohol. Instead, I hold her hand, stroking her knuckles with my thumb like I would do while we watched a movie or drove down country roads. Her hand was always mine, just like this. Her features smooth and her breathing evens out. I bring her hand to my lips and press a long kiss to the middle of her palm.
The baby.
I can't make out the rest of the sentence, but it's salt in an already gaping wound that she's thinking of Jigs and Lindsay's baby when we should be in that situation too. Our lives shouldn't have taken this turn. I love you, I whisper, choking the words out. She doesn't react, too asleep and out of it to hear. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything. The urge strikes hard, much harder than before, to slip into bed beside her and pull her into me. Before I can do that, I turn away and head back down the hallway, leaving my heart beside her. Forcing air into my lungs, around the pain that's nearly unbearable, I enter the kitchen and flip on the light. I need to get a grip, and I need to rip Jigs's ass for, yet again, putting me in a situation with Elin before either of us are ready. I whip out my new prepaid phone and find his name and press call. Hey, he answers. You okay? Fuck you, Jigs. I spit. Oh, settle down. Don't fucking tell me to settle down, I warn, feeling my body shake. What the fuck were you thinking letting her get bombed like that? And what? You just sat there and watched Pettis try to fuck her right in the middle of thoroughbreds? Ty, fuck you. I lean against the wall and try not to see double. I don't know if you thought it was funny or... How about... Jiggs interrupts. You shut the hell up and think about this for a minute? His chuckle rings through the phone. She's my sister, Ty. Do you think I didn't have that under control? Well, considering I was 2 seconds from ripping Pettis apart and am now standing in the middle of my house while Elin sleeps, yeah, it looks like you didn't have jack shit under control. That's where you'd be wrong. The relaxed tone of his voice tells me he's right. I sink further against the wall. I knew you were on the patio, you fucking idiot. Cord sent me a text. So I let her do her thing. Let her feel like she was being some kind of rebel. And let you see what can happen if you don't get your shit straight. Maybe it'll do you both some good. Huffing, I pace a circle around the table. It's not your place to do this, Jiggs. The hell it isn't. What am I supposed to do? Sit here and watch the two of you both be hard-headed and let your lives go down the drain? There are lives, so yeah, that's exactly what you should do. He laughs. It hurts to feel that, doesn't it? It hurts to face what you've done to her instead of running. Welcome to reality, Wit. What do you want me to do? Be the man I know you are, man. As much as you want to pretend you can't fix things and she's somehow not your responsibility anymore, you just proved tonight that's a lie. Hell, you proved that at the bonfire. Another time you shouldn't have interfered. You're just making it worse. You're forcing us together when we don't want to be. I'm calling bullshit on that. A heavy sigh leaves my lips. Everything is so fucked up. I don't even know what I feel right now. And I sure as shit don't know what Elin thinks. Where's she at? Jiggs asks. Sleeping. I think she's out for the count. What are you doing tonight? His voice is careful and it makes me hang my head. Staying here. I can't leave her alone. I look around the kitchen. It still feels like home. It's enough to take a part of the weight off my chest that has been sitting there for a long time. I've probably pushed my luck tonight. Why don't you plan on coming by in the morning and checking on her? Let her replay all this with you, not me. Then maybe I can build on this. All right, sounds good. I don't miss the smile in his voice. I'm still pissed at you, Watson. Yeah, you'll deal. Talk to you tomorrow. I say and end the call. My anger is diminishing, and I don't want him to know it. Turning the light off, I make my way back to the living room. Slipping off my shoes and sweatshirt, I open the trunk against the wall. A pillow and blanket we use for movie night are tucked away like they should be. Arranging a little nest on the sofa, I lay down and stretch out. The house is quiet, so quiet, that if I listen closely enough, I can hear Elin's breathing in the other room. The couch folds around me, welcoming me with its soft leather like it remembers me. Closing my eyes, I listen to Elin's rise and fall and pretend I'm next to her. On a couch in a house I'm not quite welcome in. It's the happiest place I've been in a very long time.
Chapter 9. Elin.
I'm gonna be sick.
Squeezing my eyes shut from the onslaught of the sun pouring through the open blinds, I lie completely still in hopes that the putrid bile that's threatening to blast up my throat goes away. My head pounds, my stomach gurgling away. I place my hands on my belly and realize I'm in the same clothes I wore yesterday. As I run them down my stomach to my legs, I'm even in my jeans. I never wear jeans to bed. My mom used to tell me when I was a little girl that my skin would get stuck in the zipper while I slept. It terrified me from trying it. Still does. Everything is foggy as I try to pick apart what I remember from last night. Jiggs and Lindsay picked me up and we went to Thoroughbreds for pizza. Beer. Oh, gagging, I try not to upchuck the telltale bitterness of a bottle of brew. I take a hefty breath, only to have it halt in my throat. A flurry of shadowy images whips through my memory, a muddy slideshow, except for Ty's face. He was with me.
Oh my God. I try to remember something, anything that tells me what happened. There's a blur of memories, of voices, of familiarity, yet nothing concrete. A nervous energy courses through my body, my skin tingling with the possibility that Ty might still be here.
Dear God, please don't let him be here. Please don't let me have done something stupid.
I don't even know how I will process it if I walk into the kitchen and see him. Did I sleep with him? Did I tell him about the baby? Oh, God!
I open my eyes, hesitating before they flutter awake. Glancing around the room, everything looks completely normal. Nothing moved, nothing out of place. No sign of an argument, no sign of him. Giving myself a second to adjust to the light, I ignore the throbbing in my head and pull back the covers. My feet on the floor I stand, wobbling for a second as the alcohol settles in my stomach. With a sense of anticipation mixed with a heavy dose of dread, I start down the hallway. I listen for the television, for his voice. It's quiet. The couch comes into view and I grip the wall for support with one hand, the other covering my mouth. The pillow and blanket from the trunk are in a messy bundle. It's Ty's handiwork. The pillow lying lengthwise and not horizontally like normal people use it. He always lies with his pillow under his head, neck, and top of his back longways. He stayed with me. My eyes sting as they fill with hot tears, my headache now blocked by a surge of emotion. With more urgency than I care to acknowledge, I make my way into the kitchen. I'm across the room in half the normal time. Dashing to the window, only my car is in the driveway. A million questions fight for attention. A thousand possibilities and scenarios race through my mind. I struggle to piece together the events of last night. I have no idea what happened. Fear hits me hard when I realize that regardless of what occurred, he's not here. Yet through it all, a little bubble of happiness sits squarely on my shoulders because he was here. It infuriates me that him being here makes me happy. I don't want to want him. I don't want to be happy that he gave me a piece of his time. Like he can walk back into my life and decide he'll bestow some attention on me. God knows what he was doing all day yesterday, or last week, or the month before. My purse sits on the table. I go to it and rummage around until I find my phone. My finger hovers over Lindsay's name when I hear tires hitting gravel. With a lump in my throat, I look out the window. Jiggs waves as he makes his way up to the front door. Dropping my phone back in my purse, I head to the front and let my brother in.
You look like shit.
He laughs, ruffling my hair as he walks inside.
Feel like it too?
Pretty much, I mumble, following him into the living room. He picks up the pillow and blanket, and I automatically open my mouth to object, but shut it quickly. I don't know what he knows, and I don't want to muddy the waters. Jiggs gets comfortable, kicking his feet up on the coffee table and watches me smugly. What? I ask. I plop down in the recliner, my stomach roiling. He shrugs.
Anything you want to tell me?
No, but I know you know what happened last night, and I'd love to know too.
You don't know?
He seems surprised, uncrossing his arms. He peers at me through his thick lashes, a gift from our grandma. Jiggs? I ask, my voice unnaturally even. Did he stay?
Yeah, he brought you home from Thoroughbreds.
My world spins in a mad dose of uncertainty. Why? Why would he do that? Jiggs laughs.
Well, it was him bring you home or let you go home with Pettis.
Pettis? Ugh, I'd never go home with that son of a bitch.
You almost did last night.
He cracks. Oh my God! I cover my eyes with my hands, unable to look at him. Unable to look at myself. That's not like me. If I would have been willing to go home with Pettis, what else was I capable of doing? Or saying? My cheeks flush, my stomach rolling again, sloshing with the alcohol that caused this big mess. No, I caused this big mess. This one's on me. I chose to go to Thoroughbreds with the explicit purpose of getting wasted.
That worked out well,
my brother says.
Ty walked in and saw it and flipped his lid.
My chest swells and I can't help the smile that tugs at my lips. He did? There's no denying that this little tidbit of information feels good. That I was able to get under his skin even if I didn't mean to.
Score one for the alcohol because I never would have attempted such a thing sober.
He actually carried you out of the pub. I was going to bring you home, but he didn't really leave it open for debate.
My gaze falls on the pillow at the other end of the sofa.
He left around 5 this morning. He called me when you went to sleep, and I talked to him again this morning. Look, I know you're thinking a million things, but nothing happened last night. He just put you to bed and slept on the couch.
Giving that a second.